Good morning.
Good morning.
So how's everything going this morning?
Everything is okay. It's been a crazy, crazy week.
I know.
But, how's your week been?
Well, you know, pretty good. You know, given that I'm not, I don't have your job, which is, kind of taking care of clients that are steeped in the volatility of the market. It's a little bit different, but, you know, other than that, it's coming along okay. And, you know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, so life is good.
Good. Well, is there a Valentine in your life?
Well, you know, I've been married for 39 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 39 years, and
congratulations. That's a significant accomplishment.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe you more know, on her part than your part.
Probably. You know, I've dragged my family from, we're from San Diego, and then, you know, I started my career in San Francisco with Merrill Lynch, and then we moved to Washington, D.C., we spent, I guess, probably 6 years in San Francisco, then on to Washington, D.C. for another 3.5 years, then on to Ann Arbor, Michigan for 4.5 years, then down to St. Petersburg, Florida for another 4 years.
Wow.
Princeton, New Jersey for, I was there from 96, and then I had a job in New York, and then I moved to Northern New Jersey, ran offices, and then came back to San Francisco to run the Pacific West region, and I retired in 09. From that. So, yeah, I've dragged them around a little bit. And they're still with me. He's still with me.
Wow.
So, a lot of memorable experiences when you go back and start thinking about it. I got to say that in some respects, kind of staying in the environment that you grew up in, where you know everybody and you went to school with a lot of folks. But the flip side is I've got friends and relationships really all over the country.
Right.
Yeah. So all is good. So do we have a full complement on the call today?
We have Russ and me, and Corinne is on a phone call.
Okay. So hey, Russ.
Shortly.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Really well, thank you very much. I actually think the message that had the video this week was one off, because we did 10 last week.
Right.
And I had watched the 12 video this morning.
Yeah, we're one off because, you know, we took that time to go through the planning strategy document and the forecasting analysis.
Yes, sir.
So we're one behind, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. We'll certainly catch up. But that's what we did. I felt it was important to make that adjustment in our program, because I didn't want you to start your year off and then, you know, have the forecast and the goals being the end of the thing. So that's why I did it that way.
Okay. I know I love that 11 video among the best. The content was among the most exciting to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, what it does is it starts getting you putting things together now. And, you know, we always talk, we're going to get to it, and then all of a sudden now we've arrived where we take the sum total of so much that we've gone and we put it in kind of this context. So, you know, you now are steeped into the acquisition aspects of what we do. So so that's good. So let's kind of start the call here with, you know, anything that's on your mind, anything that you think we ought to cover before we do get into the week 11 materials. Any struggles, any issues in terms of advancing, you know, the program?
I guess for me, it's just the time of making sure that I'm following through on things. I do have the scheduler up and working, thanks to Lori, and so that's good. I'm feeling pretty good about the process. I haven't met with all clients yet, but all the key clients should have their folders as of this week. But definitely don't have them all scheduled.
Okay. So are you in the 60% range, the 80% range? Where do you think you are in terms of having met with your clients and shared your service model?
After this week, I'll be 60%.
Okay. All right. So about 60, that's not bad. That's more than, you know, it'd be more than half. How are the conversations going? How are they responding to you?
It's been a mix. Some people are happy. You know, I'd say the majority are glad. You know, they feel like they haven't been contacted as much, and those are maybe the smaller clients. The larger clients we're talking anyway, so sometimes they're a little like, well, you know, we're doing that anyway, and I struggle a little bit with the idea of getting a consistent time on the calendar.
Okay.
Some people don't immediately say, okay, let's go ahead and do that. You know, they say, well, let me think about that. I'm not sure how that would work with my travel, my schedule, that kind of thing.
Right. And you know, look, your response is always going to be one of being flexible, you know, based on their needs. And if for whatever reason, you know, they can't make a time, we'll reschedule it. But we want to try to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks in terms of the agenda. How about your agenda for topics? And putting together executive summaries. How's that working?
Well, we have a 24-month schedule of topics. Russ didn't think it was good. I feel pretty comfortable with it.
Oh, no, I think the schedule's good. I think the content that we're bringing to the folders, at least my folders, we haven't really got content.
Okay.
That's how I was looking at it.
Okay.
For the topics. I mean, we have them written down, and it's on our agenda, but we don't have any meat.
Oh, well, yeah. Some of that will have to be developed. This month I was talking to people about tax preparation, R&D, and so one of the things I was doing was doing a R&D projection for them.
Okay. You
know, quick and easy, and so that's kind of some of that meat. I think the meat will be developed as we move through the topics.
Okay. Have any clients, as a result of these communications, brought you additional assets?
How about you?
I don't know if it's the communication. They haven't maybe pinned it down, but there is kind of a flurry of development of, I would say, small to medium relationships into bigger ones. There's kind of a flurry of that right now for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had that too. Let me see. One case in particular, he's a executive for Orkin, and we in the conversation about the service model.
Okay.
I mean, just I don't know if it was just coincidence or what, but yeah, we're looking at bringing over significant assets and reviewing insurance and doing a lot of other things.
Okay.
Now that you ask me, I get a chance to reflect. We did have one of my biggest clients send me an email about a rollover for his wife's 401k. And
okay.
I answered him by email, but then he said, hey, listen, we'll just put this on, and he said, March the 9th on our next call, we'll just deal with it then.
Okay.
So I thought I should have sent that to you.
Okay, good.
Oh, another thing is, that I just thought about yesterday. I don't know if this, I haven't heard this mentioned, but it really is true that this is the 24-month calendar and those topics are an audit schedule. I mean, it's not just good for the clients. It's good for me. It forces me to go back and look at those issues specifically related to this client, you know, whether it's beneficiary reviews, IRA contributions, or, you know, whatever that is, it's a forced audit of the client's accounts, relationships, what we're doing for them. So that just hit me the other day because it did help in that area. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, compliance will love you. They'll love you because you've got the ongoing communication. After you have the conversation, the executive summary should go out with the next steps for the next call. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, how do you feel in terms of your ability to communicate your 1242? I'm sorry, strategy. You know, having that conversation with the client.
I don't think I'm really polished. I think I've got it. I understand it. I need to be better at that.
Yeah, I think that maybe a couple of things. You and Russ should go back and just role play it. Just carve out, you know, 15, 20 minutes and just role play it back and forth and critique each other. Because that's really important. And being able to handle the objections as well. You know, for example, you know, why are we making this change? Why are we doing this now? You know, I've been working with a coach who's done research on what clients want, and what we want to do is we want to up our game in terms of how we communicate with our clients. So every call is not a call to try to figure out what we can sell you, but they're designed to make sure that we're paying attention to the most important things in your life. Okay. So I think that you want to get really smooth in being able to articulate that. Remember, it's all these little things that you do that really add up to maximizing your relationship. So that's really, really critical. Okay.
Oh, I had another story too, where I think rolling this out may have saved the client. I'm not sure I want to keep them,
okay.
But he, with the market ups and downs, you know, he was my only client who was questioning what we've done. I really didn't have that many phone calls related to the market, but, or just one phone call, one email. But this, he just hasn't done anything for years, and it's frustrating. I don't want to have to beg to take care of somebody. So
right.
I sent an email. We went back and forth on emails, kind of, you know, and I was ready to cut him loose and going to be happy for it. And so we had one more phone call. And so he said, well, what was this folder and, you know, that, because we had already sent it to him, and I had asked him to have a discussion, and then his, you know, rantings about the market came up. And so I told him, I said, well, I had planned to include you guys in my key clients. And then the conversation just turned. I mean, our conversation ended up being positive. He wants to me to make recommendations on the rest of, you know, the other 90% of his portfolio that's been sitting, you know, that I've been trying to help him with. So I'd really have to say that this gave me good ammunition to help him turn his perspective more positively.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, that's a really, really good story. Now, what about, you know, so the thing about, you know, your timing is, you know, having your folders, being able to articulate your service model, having your business plan and strategy, getting down to your core, you know, business, you know, all designed so that you could start having some explosive growth in the kind of the acquisition stage. So how are you feeling in terms of being able to, you know, start thinking about the client acquisition component of what you do? New relationships.
I mean, the way we kind of see ourselves moving forward would be, you know, that would be more of Russ's strength, and it definitely is. I mean, he's just gifted in that area. So, I mean, I would think that's going to be very natural for him. A lot of times I just don't like interacting with people.
Okay.
So it's a little harder for me. But I can see now. I mean, it makes sense to me. All the different methods. You know, we were kind of thinking, well, after this program is over, we may need to go, you know, do something else to grow. But I really feel good about the different acquisition methods.
Same here.
Okay. I will tell you, these processes work. I'm coaching another team in Texas. And, you know, this particular team had been struggling with a particular prospect for quite some time, and got in front of them with the concept of 12-4-2 and the service model. And, you know, you get all these stories, but they brought in $5 million, a $5 million relationship based on this kind of strategy. So, you know, get your prospects in line, get your 6 COIs, get your member mastermind group, 4 members, think about the community boards you're on, your niche markets, and your social networking strategy. And one thing I will tell you is, like, if you're on LinkedIn, start cross-channeling who the clients are that might be on LinkedIn and who they know, because that's a whole nother source of prospects. That takes time. So maybe only cross-check 2 or 3 a week just to find out, and just write down notes of who they know that are in your area and your target market. Okay. Anything else that you're thinking about that is on your mind relative to that before we get into some of today's material?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I want to ask Corinne real quick, like next week, or I'm out next week for quite a bit of it, but the week after, I mean, I definitely want to hand the schedule over to you. Do you feel comfortable with the process, how that will work? Can I do that?
For March, right? I'm going to hand her the schedule for March.
Basically, starting in March, I wanted to do it, you know, to make sure everything worked and I understood it first. For March, I guess that would be when I would want to hand that over to Corinne.
Okay.
So, I mean, looking, you know, loading it into the calendar, contacting people every week or the week before, weeks before, whatever, and doing all that. Do you feel pretty comfortable with all that?
It's on your computer, right?
It will work on your computer as well. And I think she can load on the my calendar if I remember correctly. Does that sound right, Curtis?
Yeah. She should be able to take control of your calendar. So, you know, the way that it should work, let's just say I was an observer and I walked into your office. I would probably see, you know, just starting out, maybe four folders on your desk, four on Rodney's desk, and, you know, it's got the agendas in there, executive summaries. You know exactly when you pull one folder what the topics and the discussion is going to be about. You know when the telephonic reviews are going to take place. You know when the in-person reviews are going to take place because they're all scheduled. And after each call, an executive summary is going out to the client and a copy of it is going into the folder. With centers of influence, CPAs, et cetera, they're starting to get busy right now, but you're going to bring the team together with them, showing how Supernova works for them, maybe educate them on your process so that you begin to develop your COI. So as an observer, that's what I would see,
okay,
that everything gets scheduled. The phone is probably not ringing as much because you're now in control of the scheduling of the calls. Okay. So that's kind of how it all should come together. All right. Let's look at reviewing chapter 11, which was on leadership. And the topics for this week were failure points for acquisition, team accountability, using the game board, and team communication and business planning, and individual development. So let's spend some time talking about the failure points here for a moment. The things that are impediments to success, as I really like to kind of characterize them. Okay.
Now, are we on week 11 or week 12?
You're theoretically on week 12, but the information, remember, we covered business planning and strategy 1 week, so that kind of put us theoretically a week behind. So I'm gonna call call that a freebie, and we'll cover week 12 the next week, the information, that is.
Okay.
I'm not confusing you too much, am I?
No, I just listened to week 12, and okay. So I was thinking, because you said we were going to cover week 11, so I just wanted to make sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jane Ward was week 11, but you came back to it in week 12, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, so what we're talking about here is what are the impediments to success? So, you know, let's just kind of review them. The failure to segment. Okay, and really what that means is that this is going to be an ongoing process, you know, where you start, you know, over a period of time, you know, you start acquiring more and more client relationships, you're going to have, segmentation is a continuous process. So as you bring new people in, you have to make room for the more affluent clients on the books, okay? So you have to continuously segment. All right. The monthly contact. Failure to set up and follow through the monthly contact. Because what we want is we want the client relationships to be so enamored with your service capabilities, that what we're doing is we're taking them from a basic commodity experience to more of a wow experience. Okay? Now, let me kind of describe that a little bit in some other terms. Have you ever been to a Motel 6?
Unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. All right. Have you ever stayed at a Four Seasons or Ritz-Carlton?
Yes.
So when you go to a Motel 6, you're going to get a basic bed, a room, and a TV. Okay? When you go to the Ritz-Carlton and you stay there, you get a bed, you get a TV, but there's something about that bed, it's something about the thread count on those sheets, there's something about those pillows and that comforter, and it's something about how you're greeted when you walk in. It'll be my, when you call in and ask for room service, it'll be my pleasure to serve you, sir. You know, it's just all those little things that make that experience so wonderful. So what you're now delivering is this concierge service that keeps people coming back, that now begins to say, look, I don't know if you've ever stayed at this Ritz in Manhattan, but man, it's really, really nice. And, you know, you feel compelled to share that with people. That's what we want your clients to experience with you. Okay, so that's what you're doing. All right, failure, the next one is the failure to seek referrals, okay? Because that's the lifeblood of the of your business. So, you know, all of the things we covered in that section on the VISPA model, all of that is helping you get referrals. What do you value? Okay, the fourth failure is the failure to develop your centers of influence. You've identified them, but they don't have their folders. You're not communicating with them in terms of the type of clients that you would enjoy working with, so on and so forth. Number five, the failure to create you know, a mastermind group. Number six, the failure to schedule time for the prospecting. You know, giving them the 90-day free look. Getting these things. And number seven, the failure to be able to articulate the Supernova service model. 1242. Okay. So, those are the seven things that you have to really, really stay on. And I will repeat them and go through them as much that as we need to. The other component is I want to cover team communication and business planning. And this is where some of the team dynamics start to come together, where the team is having a daily stand-up. You know, it's, you know, Rodney says, so Russ, what's on your agenda for today? And vice versa. And, you know, Corinne, what do we have going on here? And, you know, any problems, any issues, anything that I need to be, you know, thinking about. How are we doing on our topics for the month? Daily stand-up. Then, you know, your end-of-the-week assessment of how well the team is doing. Are we strategically aligned? Are we communicating with one another? Are we focused on the goals? Okay? Once a week, you probably want to spend a half hour on the game board. So let's talk about the game board for a moment. And the game board is also in your business plan and kind of strategy document, but what you're doing there is you are saying for the week of, you know, February 10th or whatever the Monday was. And at the end of the week, Friday or on Monday, you're going to look at VIPSA. What were the goals? The 90-day trial, COIs, mastermind, client plans review, client meetings, review niche markets, community board meetings, updates on LinkedIn. So you have all of that laid out, and you're writing down your goals by individual to see what kind of progress and make an assessment, because these things are going to drive your business. And notice that none of it has a cold call in there. It's all client-centered, client-focused, and client-generated. So have you seen the sample game board that's in the manual?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions about that, just, you know, on a weekly basis, just spending a little bit of time talking about where you stand as a team in terms of this activity?
Well, we didn't have a game board right now.
Yeah,
and you're still kind of coming to this, but
right. Yeah, our priority has been more of getting the business plan work done.
Okay. So we need to, or we need to pull together our business plan, and then we need to kind of start thinking about the weekly activity. Because that's where your revenue generation is going to come from. Okay. So, when do you think you'll have your business plan done?
You had said, I think, 3 weeks from let me see, we started last week. Let's see, so it would be like the week of, last week of February.
Okay.
I'm out, I'm kind of pushing things back a little bit. I'm out the 21st through the 23rd next week.
Okay. Okay.
Speaking of that, you know, I definitely want to be on that call, so if we could.
Yeah, we'll reschedule. Just do that with Lori.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, we'll reschedule. All right. So that's the game board. And what it does is, you know, many FAs, they look at the end of the week and see how much revenue that they brought in that week. I want you to start measuring your activity, because the activity is going to tell you what you have in your pipeline and really where your business growth is going to come from. So the game board is going to be very, very critical. So you've got your forecast in there, but now you've got your activity level that you're starting to measure. Okay? You know, how many client contacts that I really have this week, how many conversations that I have regarding the referral model, how many meetings that I have with a center of influence, that I have a mastermind group meeting this month. So you're starting to now pick up your activity and your level of meetings, your quality of your meetings with specific agendas. And this is different. You know, you're not sending out a ton of mail, you know, trying to get a 2% response out there in the market. You're working on personal introductions. Okay. So this game board then goes on and talks about the number of client appointments that were made, the number that were confirmed, the number of agendas sent, the folders that were updated, appointment notes transcribed, your client meetings, you know, folks that were now put on your scheduling tool. Executive summaries that were sent to clients. So if you had in the course of the week for a day, that would be, you know, for one team member, that would be like 20 appointments made. And then how many of those were kept? So you maybe only 18 were kept. Out of the 18, you sent 18 agendas out, so that would be good. You updated your folders. You know, you put the executive summaries in there. You took notes. You know what the next steps are. And your executive summaries were sent. And in terms of problem areas that may have come up, you know, Corinne is going to say, well, look, we covered... we only had 3 issues with any clients this week, and they were taken care of right away. So that's what you're looking at. You're doing your team huddle, bringing your team closer together in terms of the team focus, so nothing falls through the cracks. And you're looking at your results, and what I want you to be careful of is the results tend to start off a little slower and they build up. So I don't want you guys to beat yourselves up and say, holy smokes, you know, this week we really didn't hit our target for client appointments. What happened? What went wrong? Well, I had the doctor's appointment. We had this new prospect took up 2 hours of our time this week. So that was a good thing. So I want you to be able to logically talk through what took place. you know, one team I was working with, you know, every Friday, he was out playing golf, and the issue wasn't whether he was playing golf, but did you hit your targets so that you can play golf? Are you going to play with the same folks? Are you going to kind of insert, you know, kind of a new person in there? I tell you, if golf is your thing, by the time you spend 4 hours with somebody, you start to know them pretty well. So, you know, the focus then was to take something that you enjoy, but make sure that you're translating it into, you know, making sure that you meet your goals and your targets in terms of contact. Okay. Any questions on the game board as identified in your manual?
Actually, I do have questions on that. This is Russ. So, to me, there are three game boards.
Right.
Right? So I'm trying to picture, is this a whiteboard, and we erase it and put new categories up? And if so, you know, how do we track our progress during the week? I definitely got the concept of the Friday one, which is more of a results summary,
right,
and earlier in the week is more of an activity focus. So, like, you know, eight categories, I guess I'm just trying to picture how you actually execute the game board.
Okay, so, yeah, and that's a very, very good question. So, remember, everyone on the team has a delegated duty and responsibility, okay? So the VP of planning is going to be responsible for the number of plans that were completed. The VP of implementation is in charge of the monthly focus. The VP of brand is logging, scheduling, and the adherence to 1242. The VP of marketing is coming together and saying, look, these were the new assets and new accounts that were brought in for the week. And then the VP of leadership is talking about revenues, and that's done in a monthly meeting with the team members. So one is looking at activity, and the other is looking at keeping score, okay? Keeping score with their respective delegated duties and responsibilities, okay? So we covered some samples of this. So the VP of planning is looking at client plans that were implemented and the topics. The VP of implementation is implementing the planning process through the 24-month time frame. The calendar, consistent asset liability management process. VP of brand, setting up, updating the game board and the scoreboard. So there's two, that's the separation that you want to look at. Game board, scoreboard. Activity, results. Okay? VP of marketing. Are we growing our practice? What's in our team's pipeline? Getting known, trusted in our community. Our acquisition strategies. VP of leadership, moving the team forward with goals. Meet with each member of the team to ensure that we all are getting the professional development that we need, that we understand our purpose, our mission, our vision, which is also identified in our business plan. So once a month, pull out the business plan and say, are we tracking, are we doing what we said we were going to do? So now this is some of just the tracking stuff. You're going to start to get so busy meeting with people that you now are starting to see, well, what kind of results are we getting? So there's two things. One is regarding all of the tactical activities, and then the other is on the strategic activities. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the other elements of this manual is having the team establish their pipeline for the prospects that they want to close on. So, you know, what you're measuring here is the number of introductions, the number of folks that are in the 90-day test drive category, introductions from that mastermind group, number of introductions that you might get from social media, and the introductions from community involvement. So do you remember the chapter we covered? I think it was in chapter 9. And it had, it was entitled The 5 Resources for Growth. And
right.
Look, if you get 100 clients and they give you 6 introductions per year, you got 600 potential prospects. If you got 6 COIs, they give you 12 introductions per year, you got 60 potential prospects. Your 4-member mastermind group gives you 8 introductions. 32 potential prospects. Your 2 niche markets give you 10 introductions. That's 20 potential prospects. And then if you're working a nonprofit board and you get 5 potential prospects or introductions a year and you add them all up, that's a lot of prospects. So every month you should be generating new client relationships once you get that on board. Okay, so this really becomes a lot to do, and that's why we spend so much time on segmentation organization, so that you can kind of get to this point, okay, of really getting your pipeline going. All right.
Hey, Chris.
So, yeah.
Hey, I hate to take time on this, but this is Russ. I've been meaning to ask you this over and over. I've served on a community board for 6 years, and I'm supposed to fall off the board in April.
Okay.
And I did serve as chairman for 2 years, and I've been on the finance committee, not by your design, that I was already doing it. So I'm exiting the board, and we have seen that, like the budget for that organization go from $1 million to about $4.5 million over my 6 years. And so I feel like I need to spring into something else.
Okay.
And I wonder, you know, what do I do about making the positives on the current board turn into introductions for new boards? And even if you sent me an email or something on this topic, I would be grateful.
Okay. Yeah. Let me give you just a short period of kind of a focus on that. You know, take a board member to that you feel you'd like to work with and take them out to breakfast, coffee, lunch, and work the VISPA model with that board member. You know, which is, what do you value? What's important to you? With your permission, I'd like to, you know, kind of brainstorm with you for a moment. How would you advise me to begin to maybe work with some of the board members?
Oh, okay. So that. How would you advise me to find another board, or how would you advise me to, I get you, to actually work meaningfully with some of the people on the board.
Exactly. So work for this model with your board.
Like it. Okay.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, look, they want to help you. And that will work for you. Let me give you an example. I was on the board of the Bay Area Y. They had a budget of $50 million. They had a $20 million endowment. And I wasn't on the finance committee or the investment committee while I was employed with a investment firm. But once I got off that, retired from that, they wanted me to get on the investment committee because we're going through the recession. And their endowment was cut almost in half. So I started to review the portfolio, and they had an outside money manager, and they thought it was diversified. They had mortgages. They had insurance companies. They had banks. They had brokerage. That was like 50% of the portfolio. So they didn't look at the diversification being, you know, in the financial services industry, because they thought they were all different. But when that recession hit, they were all impacted. Insurance companies, so on and so forth. So we got that straightened out, put out for bid, brought in a number of folks that made pitches and presentations, got them back on track, back on focus, got their spend rate up, because they had a spend of about 5% of, okay. Did something happen? Everybody still there? Hello? I'm going to dial back in. I don't hear anybody. I don't know what happened.
Moderator has joined the conference.
Hey, anybody there still?